Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the second lesson from Acts 2, especially verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is the text. And we begin by backing up. About 3 weeks ago, it was first weekend of May, and there was a congregational meeting, and part of the devotion, I mentioned the city of Jericho. What's this got to do with anything? Well, the city of Jericho. And in order to conquer the city of Jericho, God gave Joshua this odd military plan that they were to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and then shout and blow the horns, and the walls would fall down. As, how's that going to happen? And some have speculated in the commentaries that, oh, by the way, just perchance, there happened to be an earthquake at exactly that time. I suggest something differently. Comes from, well, something that military people do when they're supposed to march across a bridge. You know what they do? They stagger their steps so that they are not marching in unison, because if they march in unison, the vibrations can tear the bridge apart. And think about this. Somewhere between 250,000 and 1,000,000 Israelites marching around the city of Jericho. What do they do as they march? They probably sing. And by singing, they stay in step. Once a day for 6 days. Seven times around on the seventh day, and the walls are shaking from the marching, and then the yelling and the horns, and down come the walls. Quite an amazing thing. Well, what does that have to do with Acts chapter 2? Something I noticed this year reading through this that I had never noticed before. One little detail about people of that time of history. You get all these languages named: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cretans, Arabians. If you were going to travel in the ancient world, you needed to know more than one language. It's called being multilingual. Still, what does that have to do with all of this? Well, the disciples are given these languages by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they head out into the public area, and they're speaking the gospel in these newly given languages. And there are people gathered around from all of these nations who are now hearing the mighty works of God, it says. The mighty works of God, the disciples speaking them in those languages. Really pretty precise in verse 11. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. But what's that got to do with being multilingual? Another step along here. So if you are a Phrygian and you know Phrygian, the Phrygian language, and you hear one of the disciples speaking in your own language, that's pretty good. But what about the other languages you know? And perhaps there's somebody just a few feet down who's speaking in Pamphylian. And though, although Phrygia is your native language, you know some Pamphylian. So you listen in a little bit. And everybody in that day spoke Greek. And maybe you listen in there a little bit. Or Aramaic, and you listen there a little bit. And the thing you discover as you are listening is this surprising thing. First of all, set up the contrast. You ever been in a large party where you catch a glimpse, a snatch of a conversation here and another one there and another one there? Are they saying the same thing? Hardly. But you are there on that day of Pentecost with multiple languages you kind of know, and you hear this one telling about the mighty works of God in Jesus Christ. You're listening in here? They're saying the same thing. They're talking about the mighty works of God in Jesus Christ. And over here in another language, the same thing. In another language, the same thing. And, well, the miracle of Pentecost on the surface is all of these languages being spoken. Dig a little deeper, and you see another miracle happening, that in all of those languages, where they're telling the same thing. How do you do that? Well, you and I couldn't. That's why they notice with such amazement. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And we know they were telling about Jesus because of what he said in the gospel. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness. Telling about Jesus Christ. And so that unified testimony about who Jesus is in the many languages is quite remarkable. Now, question to ask, is that miracle still happening? Where the message about Jesus Christ is now being spoken around the world in a few thousand languages? Is it the same message about Jesus Christ? Yes. About the Lord Jesus who came to this world to purchase and win us and bring us back to God. About the Lord Jesus who was born for us and laid in the manger. About the Lord Jesus who went around the Holy Land preaching the gospel and healing the sick and raising the dead. And telling of the love of God the Father and telling of the forgiveness of sins, and telling about how he would lay his life down for his people, how he would rise on the third day, how he would give salvation and eternal life to us. The same message. I watched this happen. Oh, it was about 13 years ago, 2002. Got to go over to South Africa and then up into Botswana and off into the Kalahari and sat there and listened to the missionary telling about Jesus Christ in the language of the bush. No, she wasn't speaking the language of the bushmen. They were speaking in their own language. What she was speaking was the common language. It's called Setswana. But they knew that language. They heard later on that the family there, Dawi and his family of six, came to faith in Jesus Christ, set aside the old ways, came to believe in a Savior who loved them and gave himself for them. Quite an amazing thing. experienced somewhat of what this is talking about later on, about 5 years later. So over in South Africa again, and he had an afternoon to spend. And someone said, well, go off with Pastor Ntsimane and just spend some time together. And so we did. And we talked about where we grew up and how we grew up, and it is absolutely amazing how different two people's lives can be. From a comfortable home in the suburbs of Chicago, in contrast to a township where if you get a significant amount of food, your neighbors come knocking, and you are obligated to share with them. And you do so because there will be a time when you are hungry, and you can knock on their doors. And you hold things in common in this grinding poverty. And as we talked about this, then our talk turned to knowing Jesus. Who is Jesus? What does it mean to know him? What is it like being a Christian? What does it mean to have the privilege of prayer? And as we talked about Jesus Christ, the most amazing thing happened. Right down the list from beginning to end, we were saying the same thing. How could that happen? Other than Jesus is real. We had both met him and we know him. And so when we're talking about him, of course we're going to be saying the same things. Quite an amazing thing. So this message about Jesus is a message given to the church to go out and to spread all over the world and to every nation and every family and every people. It is a message of life, message of salvation, message of eternity and forgiveness and the joy of being a Christian and what it means to be a Christian, to come out of the things that don't bring peace and into a gospel where God is our God. And he tells us that he wants for us to be with him through all eternity. And this is what we go out and we tell to everyone around. This is the mission of the church. This is our mission. To let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine in our hearts. And that's what the day of Pentecost is all about. So that wherever we go, to whatever new people, maybe even those of strange language because they're teenagers, and we don't understand their words half the time, but he is the same Jesus. And exciting as it is, from nation to nation, language to language, generation to generation, he binds us together. You know, think of the early church and how strange our practices might seem to them. But if we were to sit down and talk about Jesus Christ, we would know that we are talking about the same Jesus Christ. And this is the witness of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. It is a witness that pulls together and that draws us together as one people because we know the one Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.